Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the coming weeks, the SEMFORs will experience that much-longed-for CTS rite of passage, the TI, or theological interview. With sweaty palms and racing hearts, they will face a dynamic duo of professors. In good Lutheran tradition, the professor chosen for the seminary SEM4 represents the law, while the professor chosen by the student represents the gospel. Waxing eloquent, the seminarian will adeptly field such important questions as, who is the Antichrist? How would you handle open communion at your first congregation? What years was Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyons? And what's your golf handicap? But in addition, each of us ought to hold our own personal TI. We ought to be asking ourselves, what will be the content of my ministry? That is, what will permeate all I do as a pastor? The Apostle John tells us what that ought to be. The message that all of us sin and that Jesus Christ is God's answer to sin. How tempting it is to think that because we're seminarians or professors, we're somehow more impervious to sin than others. That Martin Luther guards the entrance of these grounds to ward off sin with his flaming sword. Where else but on a conservative Missouri Synod campus could you find such godly, Christ-like men? Well, we know that's an illusion, don't we? Like everybody else, each and every one of us is plagued by loose tongues, by proud eyes, by unbelieving and doubting hearts. We're not exempt from sin. Our clerical collars don't function as spiritual hearts 2-in-1 collars against sin. So when John writes, I am writing this to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, his words grab our attention. They address us, we poor, miserable sinners. If anyone does sin, we can count on nothing but condemnation and judgment. Without the aid of someone else, we can expect no other verdict than guilty, followed by the sound of the gavel piercing the divine courtroom. However, John's message continues. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. This isn't the pronouncement that we had every reason to expect. For these words are not words of despair, of condemnation, of eternal death, but of life, of hope, of forgiveness, of grace. The very one for whom Job cried out centuries ago to intercede for him has also come to be an advocate for us. Jesus Christ is alone qualified to be our advocate. As sinners, we could not serve as our own counsel before the judgment throne. Every son of the first Adam must remain silent before God. Only a sinless man could speak on our behalf. And that man was the second Adam, Jesus Christ. His righteousness made him uniquely qualified to be the perfect, unblemished sacrifice to pay for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, John writes. By becoming sin for us, he endured all of God's wrath against us. We don't need to fear that we are merely in the eye of the hurricane of God's wrath, and that we must now brace for a second flurry of that anger against us. Jesus has completely stilled that divine wrath against us. He has appeased it. For in our baptism, he painted the lintels of our hearts with his blood, so that that divine wrath might once and for all pass by us. Because of his righteousness, because of his sacrifice in our behalf, the resurrected one is now able to be our advocate before the Father. Even though we are baptized children, we do sin. But our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, is at the Heavenly Father's right hand, faithfully pleading his case, our case. He presents his hands, his side, and his feet as the evidence that his blood has covered all of our sins once and for all. In his death and in his life, Jesus is interceding for us. John's words must have warmed the heart of Franz Pieper, for John has been writing about basic law and gospel. The question is, will these permeate our ministry? For Satan will love nothing more than to rob us of our faith and to devoid our ministry of its power and its meaning. Today, Satan's lies are wreaking havoc in many parts of the church, starting with its leaders. We're told that people don't want to hear that they're sinners anymore. And as a result, many have been seduced into preaching what their congregation likes to hear, lest their people flock to greener pastures. The new motto is, don't offend them. So the scriptures are gerrymandered to avoid sin, or sin is garbed in the language of unfortunate human tendencies, or blamed on one's environment. But whenever a pastor avoids sin or dilutes it, he extracts the teeth out of the law. Then guaranteed results by the success fairy, such pastors hide these teeth under their pillows while they blissfully dream of imminent rewards. And like permissive parents who allow their children to pig out on sweets and to ignore their meat and potatoes, many pastors and denominations have chucked the gospel for a steady diet of artificial substitutes. They are feeding their sheep with the chaff of moralism, the wet noodles of relativism, and the cotton candy of the theology of glory. No wonder that many Christians have heartburn and spiritual constipation. Dear brothers, so many of the precious souls we serve have hearts laden with shame, unresolved conflict, and doubt. Their consciences are saturated with guilt because they can't forgive themselves, or because they believe that God won't forgive them. They need to hear the assurances of the gospel. And if they don't hear it from us, they'll quickly wander, and in their desperate search for the cure to their guilt and to their shame, they can easily fall prey to the self-improvement movements, to the lies of the New Age, or to other false gospels of works. The pastoral heart of the Apostle John permeated his ministry. And as shepherds of the Lord's flock, his message of law and gospel is now our message as well. This is the message that has brought forgiveness to you and to me in our baptism. This is the message that liberates the souls of fellow believers bound by their sin and by guilt. And this is the message that breaks through the darkness of unbelief to bring salvation and eternal life to the lost. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.